नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 19, entitled The Lord Begs Charity from Bali Maharaj. Text 13. Vairanubandha etavan आमृत्योः इह देहिनाम् अज्ञान प्रभवः मन्युः अहं मान उपभ्रमितः। वैरानुबन्ध एतावान् वैरानुबन्ध एतावान् आमृत्योरिह देहिना अज्ञानप्रभवो मन्यु अहं मानोपभृम्मितः। वैरानुबन्ध एतावान् आमृत्योरिह देहिना अज्ञानप्रभवो मन्यो अहं मानोपभृम्मितः। वैरानुबन्ध एतावान् आमृत्योरिह देहिना अज्ञानप्रभवो मन्यो अहं मानोपभृम्मितः। वैरानुबन्ध एतावान् आमृत्योरिह देहिना अज्ञानप्रभवो मन्यो अहं मानोपभृम्मितः।
Uh-huh.
माता जी
अमृतो इह देहिना अज्ञान प्रभवो मन्यो अहम मानोपभृन्मितः अमृतो इह देहिना प्रभवो मन्यो अहम मानोपहीनः.
What word meaning? वैरानुबंध enmity एतावा so great आमृत्यो up to the point of death इह in this देहिनाम of persons too involved in the bodily concept of life. Ajnana prabhavaha, because of the great influence of ignorance. Manyuhu, anger. Ahammana, by egotism. Upabhrimitaha, expanded. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Hiranyakashipu's anger against Lord Vishnu persisted until his death. Other people in the bodily concept of life maintain anger only because of false ego and the great influence of ignorance. Please repeat responsibly. Hiranyakashipu's anger against Lord Vishnu persisted until his death. Other people in the bodily concept of life maintain anger only because of false ego and the great influence of ignorance. Purport by His Divine Grace. Generally speaking, even though the conditioned soul is angry, his anger is not perpetual but temporary. It is due to the influence of ignorance. Hiranyakashipu, however, maintained his enmity and his anger against Lord Vishnu until the point of death. He never forgot his vengeful attitude toward Vishnu for having killed his brother, Hiranyaksha. Others in the bodily concept of life are angry at their enemies, but not at Lord Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu, however, was everlastingly angry. He was angry not only because of false prestige, but also because of continuous enmity toward Vishnu.
ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनफलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं भंगायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यदेवं. वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. नमो ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने. नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य सतारिणे. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे.
It is described in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam. How Brihamuni and others on the northern bank of Narmada were performing Ashwamedha Yajna, in which Vamana Dev appeared in the form of a dwarf Brahmana. So effulgent he was that everybody was very happy to see him, receive him with great respect. And Bali Maharaj was also very happy. He received him and he washed his lotus feet and took the water on his head and he asked him, "Please, ask whatever you want. I would certainly give." So, without even, especially the Brahmana visits the royal family, sometimes takes something in charity. So, he anticipated that, "Anything you want, I will give you." So, Vamana Dev was very pleased and he started pricing Bali Maharaj and his family. He said, "With the present advisor in Brihamuni and others, you are well placed. Your instructor is Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj's grandfather. It is very wonderful." And he mentioned that your entire family is very generous, praiseworthy. No one in the family, Vamande said, has refused to give charity after promising to do so. He is reminding Bali Maharaj that you already promised, in your whole family nobody did. You don't be the first one to refuse anything. Nobody in your family has refused. They are all very generous. And Vamana Dev started glorifying his, you know, great grandfather and his brother. Great grandfather was Hiranyakashipu and his brother is Hiranyaksha. So in the previous shlokas, Vamana Dev was mentioning how Hiranyaksha was such a great fighter, with club in his hand. He went around the universe and nobody was to rival him. Very powerful he was. And he said, "It was with great difficulty Lord Varaha killed him." Just to give some emphasis there, it was a big fight, not an easy cakewalk, very, you know, strong fight. And Hiranyakashipu, being very angry at his brother being killed by Lord Vishnu, he wanted to kill Lord Vishnu. So he went around searching for Lord Vishnu. And it is stated how Lord Vishnu did not want to give a fight to Hiranyakashipu. It was not right time. So he thought that he entered into Hiranyakashipu's body. He is Paramatma seated within the heart. Already he is there, but still he personally went and sat inside his heart, deep into the heart. And Hiranyakashipu was searching everywhere for Lord Vishnu. Sometimes you don't know where to search and you put great effort, it's futile, useless. You lose something somewhere else, you can't go and search somewhere else. So in this way, Hiranyakashipu searched everywhere and he didn't find. Then he declared, "Maybe this Lord Vishnu has gone to the place where nobody returns back. Yamaloka. He must have dead. God is dead." He is the first person to announce. There are a lot of people, Hiranyakashipu's followers now, but they have different logic to announce that. So, in this verse, Vamana Dev is mentioning how this Hiranyakashipu's anger, he was angry, true, but his anger persisted throughout the life until his death, which was very significant. He never forgot that Lord Vishnu killed his brother. He never wanted to be anything less than the Supreme.
He wanted to be like God. If he accepts Lord Vishnu, then his position will be little less, nothing less. It's supreme. Because of which, he was angry at Lord Vishnu. So in this sloka, Vamanadeva discusses about anger. Prabhupada also discusses in the purport. So we will also discuss a little bit about anger. Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita discusses how anger is given rise to. Dhyayato visayam pumsa sangastesu upajayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodho vijayate krodha krodhat bhavati sammoha sammohat smriti vibhramah smriti bhramsat buddhinaso buddhinasat pranashyati. End. Gives the whole sequence of how a person falls down, Lord Krishna. It all starts with dhyayato visayam pumsa, just contemplating on the objects of senses, just thinking about it, thinking about it. First it starts only with thinking, then one gets attachment to it. He gets attached. Oh, she's so nice, I should get it. Then he becomes lusty, wanting to get it. When that lust is not fulfilled, he becomes angry. That is anger. When one's desire is not fulfilled, one suddenly he becomes unhappy and gets angry. Anger leads to illusion, and that illusion leads to bewilderment of memory. And the bewilderment of memory leads to intelligence being lost, and once the intelligence is gone, the person falls down. Whole sequence that happens, starting with just contemplating on the objects of senses. So this anger is something which is actually an obstacle on the path of devotional service. On the other hand, Lord Krishna says there are three gates to hell. Three gates to hell. And kama, krodha, tatha, lobha. Lust, anger and greed. These three are the gateway. It's a hell, hellish gateway. It's a gateway to hell. If one enters that, then he has to take the path of hellish condition of life. Sri Sri Radha Ras Vihari Ji ki, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki, ki. And Lord Krishna, when he discusses about divine and demoniac nature, he puts krodha also in the demoniac nature, the nature of demons. You can see, Hiranyakashipu is his nature, demoniac nature, anger. So how this anger comes from false ego. The false ego gives rise to anger actually. So Srimad Bhagavatam in several places discusses about various pastimes. One of the pastimes is that during the Swayambhuva Manu's time, one great sacrifice was performed by the leaders of the universe led by Maharishi, Vasishta, Daksha, etc. Great sacrifice. So when a sacrifice of that scale is performed, all the demigods are also invited. All the demigods came. Lord Brahma came. Lord Shiva came. Everybody was sitting. So in that assembly, Prajapati Daksha entered. Daksha. So he being Prajapati, and everybody stood up. Chandra, Indra, Surya, everybody. Except Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. So he entered the assembly. Lord Brahma welcomed him. Please take your seat. So he sat. And he noticed Lord Shiva did not give him any respect.
He said, I am Prajapati. Everybody stood up. Everybody gave me respect. This fellow is my son-in-law. It so happened. Daksha's daughter, Sati, was married to Lord Shiva. And Daksha actually did not want to give in marriage his wonderful daughter to Lord Shiva, because he felt that he is not up to his stature. Unka stature ka barabar nahi hai. So, but he gave in marriage and unwillingly. So he felt he is actually my son-in-law. I am entering. Father-in-law to respect me, that what kind of son-in-law is? So in his mind it was going, which was giving rise to his anger. So here, one thing to be noticed is, Lord Shiva may be son-in-law of Daksha, but he is the principal demigod among Trimurtis. Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, he is one of that. Above all these ordinary demigods, even Daksha, from the standpoint of universal management, what to speak of spiritual, that's a different thing altogether. So he did not rise because of that. So sometimes what happens, you think about one aspect and you take a stand, another fellow thinks about some other aspect, takes a stand, that is where disputes arise. In the material world, there are so many disputes. Each one has got their own view, their own point of view. So, Lord Shiva was, according to his point of view, is right also, it's not that anything wrong. And Daksha has got his own point of view. He was so angry that he felt Lord Shiva offended him. Then he started talking. This person, he lives in crematorium, wearing the garland of skulls, so inauspicious, putting all over his body, the ashes from the crematorium. His associates are, bhutas, pishashas, bhutaganas. And see his eyes are like monkey's eyes. And I gave my daughter, whose eyes are like, the deer cub. Deer cub? Deer ka bachra, uska eyes, very beautiful. And this person did not give me respect. I curse him to get no share in the yajnas. Actually, when any yajna is performed, the first oblation is Lord Vishnu. Vishnu. Then the Vishnu's prasad is given to all other demigods. Brahma, etc., etc. So he said that because you offended in this yajna, henceforth, you won't get any share in any yajna. All other demigods will get. Because all they stood up for me, they will get. You won't get it. He cursed and he left in anger. Lord Shiva was quiet. He didn't say anything. Whereas, Nandishwara, Lord Shiva's carrier, he was very upset. How can this person blaspheme my master? And Nandishwara became angry. Again, one anger leads to another anger. Nandishwara became angry. He said that this Daksha is an ignorant fellow. He doesn't know about the stature of Shiva. He is only attached to the family life, sense enjoyment. And because of his ignorance, he will soon get the head of a goat, which is going to happen later in another yajna. Later on going to happen. This fellow he doesn't deserve a human head. He deserves a goat head. He will get a goat head. And Nandishwara turned towards all the brahmana sitting there. When the offense is committed, you are all sitting quiet. Tum log kabhi kuch milega. So, you people are simply attached to performing yajna and the fruitive activities. You are bereft of transcendental activity, which is above the fruit. Just performing the yajna is not for fruitive activities. You will never go to the transcendental plane. You just do yajna for filling your bellies. Just to do the yajna, you will get money, you will be happy.
and he'll be, that money will not stick with you, he'll be poor. Brahmanas are cursed by Nandishwara in the Satyuga somewhere, still the Brahmanas are poor. It's poor. Perpetual poverty in the Brahmanas. So, you will go beg from door to door for your satisfaction only, and but then you will not be satisfied also. In this way, you go in the cycle of birth and death. Nandishwara cursed in anger. So, here going on, curses and counter curses. When Bruhu, who is actually performing the yajna, he became angry. Why? You are cursing us. He said, these Shiva's followers, they all will try to imitate Lord Shiva and they will be, you know, smoking ganja and eating meat, etc., 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 like that. They will degrade their life. And so much so that they will become atheists also at some point of time. Shankaracharya came with Mayavad philosophy, which is atheism hidden. It is extension of Buddhism actually, which was discussed earlier. Buddhism's extension. So, by seeing all these things, Lord Shiva was, actually it is all centered around Lord Shiva's activity. Because he didn't give respect to that side, it all happened. But Lord Shiva didn't utter a word. This is Vaishnavanam Yata Sambhu. How others are dealing in that particular situation and Lord Shiva is dealing, you can see the big difference. Daksha, even though he's Prajapati, chief of all the demigods, he became angry. Then Nandishwara, he became angry. And Bruhu, Brahmana is supposed to be a mode of goodness, because they were cursed, he came to the mode of passion and he has cursed the followers of Lord Shiva. But Lord Shiva was unmoved. He just was morose and he left the scene. He left the scene. So in this way, we can see when one's ego is hurt, then one immediately gets angry. And that anger leads to severe consequences, one after another. As long as one is not situated on the devotional path, he may be carried away by being hurt in his ego. In another occasion, in Srimad Bhagavatam, we read how Chitraketu was a great devotee. After having an audience with Lord Ananta, he was travelling in the plane, aeroplane, which was gifted by Lord Vishnu himself. So travelling, going to so many planetary systems. And once when he was travelling like that, he came across Lord Shiva sitting in the association of saintly persons. And on his lap was sitting Mother Parvati, and Lord Shiva was embracing her, who was sitting on the lap. So when Chitraketu saw this from the aeroplane, he felt something unusual. What is this? Lord Shiva is in public, he is having his wife sit on the lap and then embracing her. This is not proper etiquette. He thought it is not proper etiquette and he laughed. See this. He is sitting shamelessly in public and embracing his wife. So in this case, again Lord Shiva didn't say anything. Lord Shiva's position you can see. Even if somebody comes and blasphemes, Lord Shiva is a tolerance. Tolerance comes from the advancement in Krishna consciousness. If a person is very advanced, he can actually tolerate. But Parvati, so if the offense is committed at oneself, one can tolerate. But the offense is committed about another person, one should either do something about it or leave the place.
like Lord Shiva left, you know, the yajna of Brihamuni. Parvati said, you are a fool. You think you are the best. You are so puffed up. You don't deserve to be in the position what you are in. You take birth in a demoniac family. Curse. Anger. To curse, you have to be a little bit angry. You can't curse a person without being angry. She felt very bad. How is this person? Kalka bachcha hai. How is he commenting about Lord Shiva? Who is a dhira? And Lord Shiva is known for controlling the senses than anybody else in the entire universe. His senses cannot be disturbed so easily. And so much so that even when Madana came to try and he was burnt to ashes. So, this person is commenting. What is this nonsense? It's not appropriate. Chitraketu. You may know that he has already met the Supreme Lord and he is, you know, ready to go back home, back to Godhead. Even though he was ready to go, no, if you see the Supreme Personality of God face to face, you are going back to God, it is guaranteed. Chitraketu immediately came to sense, hey, wait a minute, what's happening here? He didn't counter curse. He descended from the aeroplane. And then he told Mother Parvati, Mother, I accept your curse. I accept your curse. And please excuse me for my offense. And then he left. So, we can see the yajna of Brihu, where so many people are disturbed. So, three parties cursed each other actually. Because, whereas Lord Shiva didn't do anything because of his being situated on the higher plane of Krishna consciousness. So, here also we can say that Chitraketu, even though by some mistake, he made a mistake, he committed an offense, but then immediately realized he didn't go further in committing more mistakes. No. Immediately accepted it. Okay, this is the blessing. So he went back. After he left, Lord Shiva said, Lord Shiva told Parvati, Narayana para sarve nakutaschana vidyati surga apavarga narakeshu samatulyata darshanam. This is the quality of a Vaishnava. Whether it is a hellish condition of life or higher status of life, he sees samatulyartham, he sees everything equal, it's the blessings of the Lord. The Lord wants me to be in that position, theek hai. That is the quality of a Vaishnava. Lord Shiva is mentioning to Mother Parvati. So, in this way, depending upon a person is put in a particular situation, one may actually get angry. So in the sloka here, Vamanadeva says, people in the bodily concept of life maintain anger only because of false ego. One's ego is hurt. Yes, I saw all the air. He doesn't know about me. And ignorance, tamas, not knowing what is right, what is wrong. Due to that, one may actually become angry. And this anger is temporary. So many times people get angry and then they become all right. Sometimes, if the relation is strong, suppose in a family there are brothers, two, three brothers. So there may be some disagreement between brothers. Elder brother, younger brother, then elder brother may chastise the younger brother. Or even beat him also sometimes. Not nowadays, it previously used to be. Then the younger brother may get angry. He may not even talk to him. He may not talk to him actually. Then he won't even see his face. If he comes like that, he'll go that way. Then next day, after 1 or 2 days, depending upon how angry the person is, after 1 or 2 days, then the elder brother may say, hey, usko dena mere ko. Can you give me that mobile phone? He is already angry, no? He says that, you take yourself, you know. Then after 1 or 2 days,
Again he may ask for something. Then the anger level must have come down now. Then he may take and give it like this. Le. Nahi dekhega, I should dekhega. After one or two days, something else, then he himself will tell, yeh le lena. Wo dekh karke bole le. After some time, that's all, anger is forgotten. You know what happened, theek hai, chalta hai. The bodily blood relation, you know, because he knows that brother is brother. I can't, it is not that because brother became bad, I will send him out and take the neighbor as my brother. That doesn't happen, you see. Baju wala kadaki brother banega kya? Brother to brother hi rahega na. You can change your friends, but you can't change your blood relatives, you know. You are there in the situation, you have to live with that fact. So the anger a person may have diminishes depending upon how the relation is. Sometimes if you are not in bodily blood related, if it is only like friends, even if he does something bad, then it will not be like this actually. Like, let us take the practical example, devotees. Devotees, we are all coming from different walks of life. Somebody is coming from north, somebody south, east, west, of the right. We are not blood related. Sometimes there may be a disagreement. Put a disagreement only. Then because of the disagreement, one may keep it in the mind for quite long, actually. Quite long. Hey, mere ko 10 saal pehle aisa bol diya tha. 10 years back. Actually speaking, the spiritual relation is supposed to be higher than the blood relation. On the spiritual plane, it is supposed to be higher. But then we are not on that level, then we will be acting on the material level. Worse than on the bodily platform, blood related platform of life. Because we think that, what, without him I can exist, you know, what is that? If this fellow is not there, another fellow will come, what's the big deal? Like friends, I can change the friends, you know. It is not like brother saying that I can change my younger brother or sister or whatever it is. So, the earlier this anger dissipates, better it is. The longer it is, then it is actually an obstacle on the path of devotional service. This whole sloka talks about how a common man may have anger, but it gets evaporated over a period of time. Doesn't last. Whereas, that anger which perpetually exists, and that is Hiranyakashipu's anger. Hiranyakashipu's anger. And Hiranyakashipu's anger is because of two factors. One is his brother was killed, blood related, my brother, this person killed. And second is, he didn't want to compromise his supreme position. He didn't want to accept Vishnu superior to him. Nobody should be superior to him, he should be the supreme. Because of these two factors, he was always threatened. If Vishnu comes, he will be superior to me. No, no, I have to be killing him, I have to attack him. Throughout his life. Throughout. And that anger was increased to infinity when he dealt with Prahlad, his own son. His own son was asked after coming from Gurukul for a vacation. Hiranyakashipu was very happy with his son, put him on the lap. And he said, please tell what you have learned the best. Prahlad, a devotee from birth, he told his own father, Tat sadhu manye asuravariya dehinam sada samudvignariyam asadgraha hitvatmapatam grahamandakupam vanam gato yad harim ashitaha. He heard the word harim ashitaha. Please go to the forest and take shelter of Lord Hari. He was not exhibiting his anger, it's the first time. He said, somebody has polluted my son's mind. Hey, please take care of him. Inside, he was thinking, Hari is my enemy and he is telling this asadgraha, don't stay in the temporary house. Go to the forest and become devotee of Lord Hari. And he thought he will improve. And next time when he encountered Prahlad is in his own transcendental position, he is a devotee, so he's not going to change his stand. He's not going to change his stand to please Hiranyakashipu anyway. So next time when he asked, started talking about devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Vandanam, Archanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam. Get out of this fellow. He was angry. He said that his lips were trembling, his eyes became red hot. Again, this fellow, what is he talking about? This Vishnu is my enemy, I want to kill, and he is in the opposite party. Party. Amara party mein nahi hai. Opposite party mein join ho gaya. He said that this person doesn't deserve to live. Kill him. So angry. So that anger, see, this sloka explains how his anger was only increasing, not decreasing. When he was not to be killed by any means, all the means that he thought that a person could be killed, for which he did such a great tapasya that he will not die, he didn't want to die, he wanted to become immortal. All those things his fellow is possessing already, he didn't do anything actually, he was only chanting Hare Krishna. So again in anger he challenged, where is that Vishnu, Vishnu you are always telling? Oh, whoever has given power to you, the same Vishnu has given power to me. Again Vishnu. Whenever he was hearing the name Vishnu, he was getting more angry. So in that anger, which is ultimate, so much angry he was, he challenged him, he made this pillar with great anger. And he broke that pillar also in that anger when Prahlad said that, yes, he is inside the pillar. Anger gets back another anger. Lord Narsingh, there you are so angry actually. Yes, Lord also is angry. I said, how dare you are torturing my devotee. And he, because Prahlad said, yes, he is there, yes, I am there. He said that I am there. Yeah, he could have come from anywhere else also. He was also angry. So, he tore him apart. And that anger, one may say, why Lord is getting angry? Yes, that anger is like the anger of the father chastising the son who is mischievous. If the son is mischievous, father or mother gets little angry, but that anger is not perpetual. Just until the person is disciplined, you have to discipline the child, so you get angry and discipline it, and the fellow gets disciplined, that's all, anger is over. Okay, you are my son. Same thing. Lord Narsingadev was angry because he went to the limit of committing adharma. So dharma has to be established. Once the dharma is established, he tore him apart, but he became all right. He's also spirit, soul, part and parcel of Vishnu. Like son may be a rascal, but then still father knows that this is a rascal, but my son only, no. So if he becomes all right, it is okay. When he becomes all right, son is happy, father is happy also. So in this way, it is for the welfare of the living entity, the Lord also gets sometimes angry because he has become so indisciplined to discipline him. So, if you give good advice to a foolish person, Itopadesh says, in Itopadesh, it is said that, Upadesho hi murkanam, murka. If suppose Upadesha is given to a murka, Prakopaya na shantaye. A fool, when a good instruction is given, he gets more angry. Because he doesn't think it as good, he thinks it is bad. How is that he is coming and giving me something bad to me? The same way, Hiranyakashipu, when good instruction is given to him, because it is not, satisfying his ego of the supreme in the entire universe, which he is not anywhere. Angry? He won't become satisfied, he won't become shant, not peaceful. So, it is stated that the envy and anger, because of which one actually faces severe difficulty in the path of devotional service. These are the qualities in prayers of Kaliya. Kaliya says, we are snakes, naturally we are envious. Naturally, you know, get angry. The snake gets very angry easily. You know, even if you don't disturb too much, it will just come and bite, you know. Ignorant, we are ignorant. So these are the qualities very much related to the snake. And Shastra says it is very easy to actually control a snake also. Snake, there is some mantra, can do some mantra, some herbs can be controlled. But snake-like mentality person, it is not possible to control. When a person is very envious, it's very difficult. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us how to deal with the situation. When somebody is blasphemous, envious, etc., etc. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing his pastimes in Jagannath Puri. One day, Saurabham Bhattacharya, who became a devotee, he was a Brahmavadi before, became a devotee, and he invited Lord Chaitanya to his house for lunch. Lord Chaitanya accepted. And Lord Chaitanya went to the house of Saurabham Bhattacharya. So Saurabham Bhattacharya prepared elaborate items, big feast. And it was already offered to Shaligram, and he told, please sit. He said, so much prasad. Give me a little bit. He said, no, you have to eat. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, I am a sannyasi, I am not supposed to eat. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew very well what is his dharma, ashrama dharma. This is not befitting for a sannyasi. I should be living, with a frugal prasad. Saurabham Bhattacharya, who knew the identity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, said, what are you joking? You eat in the temple, Jagannath Puri, 52 times a day. That also not small quantity, big pots you are eating. 52 times you are eating. And in Dwaraka, you have 16,108 palaces, and everywhere 16,000 times you are eating also. In each palace, they are offering it. In Annakoot ceremony, and you eat so much, big hill like that. I don't even have a hill here. I don't have Annakoot. I have only little quantity. Please, don't pretend. I know who you are. Please, take. I want you to eat. So he was requesting Lord Chaitanya to take more prasad. So Lord Chaitanya, he is sannyasi also, is the supreme personality of Godhead also. If he wants, he can just fast also. If he wants, he can eat more also. Possible. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started honoring prasad. And Saurabham Bhattacharya's son-in-law, another son-in-law problem. Yes, son-in-law is the troublemaker. So his name is Amoga. Amoga was by nature very jealous, very envious, blaspheme. He does blaspheme of anybody. Fault finder. So he heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was invited for lunch. So he wanted to know kya kya kara hai. Very curious. Saurabham Bhattacharya knew that Amoga is a fault finder, and he didn't want him to come anywhere near where Lord Chaitanya is taking prasad. So he was standing at the doorstep with a stick. So Amoga saw, hare hare, ye to rasta mein kade, kya karega? So he was waiting for an opportune time. So Saurabham Bhattacharya became little inattentive in serving, in the service of Lord Chaitanya. He take this more, give this more. He was telling his wife, give that preparation more. No, if you take more, like that he was putting attention on Lord Chaitanya's eating prasad. So he was little inattentive towards Amoga. You can put your attention on only one thing, you can't put on two things. If we are chanting, if our attention is not on chanting, it will be somewhere else. If you are Attention is somewhere else, it will not be on the chanting, vice versa. So attentive chanting is required. You can't be attentive on two things. Sarvam Bhattacharya could not be attentive in his gatekeeping, because little inattentive. Amoga took the opportunity. Then he went to the window and he saw inside, he peeped in and he saw. He said, oh, sannyasi is eating so much prasad, where 10 to 12 people can eat that much quantity sannyasi is eating. So, immediately Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became very upset and he started chasing Amoga. Obviously Amoga is a young man and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is not that young. So he ran away. You invite a person to your house, you feed him and somebody says that itna kata hai dekho. Just blasphemy, you know, it's just an offense. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his wife, they are so sad. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's wife thought, let this Amoga die. No problem. Better to have this fellow dead, my daughter be a widow, that is better than having a son-in-law like this, offender. You can imagine. The father and mother will be the last one to think that their daughter will become widow, you know. That much is that, they said, this is very offensive. So much so that they were fasting. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took prasad, they were not eating, they were fasting. Next day, the message came that Amoga was affected with cholera, heavy fever, high temperature, and is any time going to die. Gopinath Acharya came and delivered the message to Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya immediately, you know, started to Amoga, where is the Amoga? He went there. He is lying down. He is going to die actually. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my dear Amoga, the heart is the seat of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is supposed to be seated in the heart. But if you keep that heart dirty, contaminated, how the Lord will come and sit? Suppose you give a seat and it is full of dust, what's the value of giving the seat? The fellow will not sit. So by saying that, this heart is supposed to be clean and you are keeping the envy, fault finding, etc. in this heart so dirty, he kept his hand on his chest. Not his chest, Amoga's chest. That is dirty. Just remove this. Unless this is removed, how the Supreme Lord is going to come and stay? So as Lord Chaitanya kept his hand on the chest of Amoga, it completely purified the heart. So much so that cholera went away, cholera gaya, temperature, normal temperature immediately. And this, by the touch of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Amoga jumped from the bed and he said, chant Hare Krishna, and he was chanting in ecstasy. And he was exhibiting the symptoms of ecstasy, you know, body shivering and jumping and etc. etc. In no time, he was an offender previously and immediately, you know, he was crying, oh, I have made such an offense, and he was beating his own cheeks, you know, it is getting swollen, and Gopinath Acharya stopped him, wait, stop. People are wondering, how is that this fellow yesterday only offended you? And what is the mercy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing? So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my devotee, in the house of my devotee, his servants, his mates, what to speak of human beings, even a dog in the house of my devotee, even the dog is dear to me. What to speak of my devotee is no son-in-law. Only thing is that temporarily his heart is contaminated. Now that I showed the mercy, now he will become a great devotee actually. So, Lord Chaitanya is a teacher taking the role of a student. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught thought, Trinadapi Sunichena, Taror Eva Savishnuna, Amanena Manadena, Kirtaneya Sadahari. When a situation is given where one is supposed to be angry and if he tolerates it, like a tree, Lord Shiva was tolerating, so many people offended him. Daksha offended, Chitraketu offended. He was, none of the situation he ever retaliated. That is tolerance. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, one has to be more tolerant than the tree. Tree's tolerance is what? Suppose somebody goes to a tree and he starts cutting a branch. After cutting one branch, if he becomes tired, he may even want to take little rest under the shade of the same tree. The tree will not say, hey, mereko ye branch ko kaata hai, tum ja, dusra tree mein ja. No. Theek hai, so gaya, so ja. He doesn't protest first of all. Doesn't protest. He may even make the very axe from the same branch, some other branch, a small branch, and make the axe and cut the same tree. The tree doesn't protest. And it gives, he may even take a mango tree, he can even take the mango and eat and then cut the tree also. The tree doesn't protest. That's the tolerance of the tree. How to be more tolerant than the tree? Idatta konjinikali road muskile. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, how to be more tolerant than the tree. Amoga was an offender. If he just kept quiet and went, it is like tolerance as good as a tree. If he just kept working, he offended me, like Lord Shiva offended me, he didn't do anything. Tolerance. This is tolerance like a tree. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, more tolerant than the tree, the same fellow who has offended, he has liberated him. He is a teacher, teaching by taking the role of a student. Himself, it is not that you can't give advice to another person and you don't do yourself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing himself, but in his own pastime. So this Amoga, who is offender, he has actually liberated him, he blessed him. So this is the example of how to be more tolerant than the tree. So, here it is explained how it is because of the ignorance. If a person is in ignorance, actually one becomes angry. Tamasoma jyotirgamaya. Don't be in darkness. Darkness means no knowledge. Come to light. Light is knowledge. If a person comes to knowledge, what is right, what is wrong? And if he is situated in knowledge, he can come to the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, he can be tolerant. Tolerance doesn't happen automatically. You have to elevate oneself to the mode of goodness. Or visuddha sattva, pure goodness. Somebody cannot be in the mode of ignorance and be tolerant. Not possible. One cannot be tolerant at all if he is in the mode of ignorance and passion. If one has to overcome that, he has to elevate himself to the higher mode. Jyotirgamaya, knowledge. If one is in knowledge, Lord Shiva, in knowledge, he knows that, these are petty fines. Daksha, you could have told Daksha, wait a minute Daksha, do you know who I am? I am the principal demigod. I was born before you. I am in Kailash. My planet is permanent. And he could have justified. No. If one is in knowledge, he doesn't have to fight with a foolish person justifying his situation. And false ego, another thing. Falsely, assuming the position and trying to see that if that is not there, I am going to be angry. Real ego, if one is seated in real ego, I am the servant of Krishna. Dasa dasanu das. Jivera swarupahoi Krishna nitya das. That is actually our position. If we are forgetting about the real position and trying to put ourselves in an artificial position, there will be so many disparities, mismatches. That can lead to, anger also. And on the path of devotional service, we have to take serious attempt to overcome this. Because Vamanadeva says here, most people, ordinary people, they get angry because of ignorance and false ego. But then they become all right after some point of time. So that point of time should be earlier, earlier the better. And if one can do that by following the principles of devotional service, naturally one will overcome, naturally one will become intelligent, the ignorance will go away, naturally one can be seated in the real position of I am the servant of Krishna. Then is going back home, back to Godhead, is going to be a smooth journey. Otherwise, as it is said here, Vairanu Bandha Yetavan Amrityo Amrityo, after the death, Hiranyakashipu kept that anger against Lord Vishnu until the final breath, until Narsingadev tore him apart. Until that time he was angry at him. So here it is very clearly stated that such kind of mood is not at all good on the path of devotional service. One has to work out how to get out of that. If one's serious business, if one's aim is to purify our heart, as long as these two things are sitting in the heart, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the heart is supposed to be clean place so that Krishna can come. Cheto darpana marjanam. Our process is to cleanse the heart. If that cleansing is not happening, false ego is sitting, envy is sitting, ignorance is sitting, all the other things are sitting, Krishna will never come and sit in the heart. If Krishna is not going to come and sit in the heart, we will be sitting here. We will not be making our journey back home, back to God, a smooth journey. So, Srila Prabhupada and our entire parambara, Goswamis, they have given us the wonderful process of Krishna consciousness, which is meant to cleanse the heart. So sincerely and seriously, when we take this process, we will certainly be sure that by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, one can actually cleanse the heart and make the heart a suitable place for Lord Krishna and sit and make our life a success. We'll stop here. Is there any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
That Hiranyakasipu anger, you explained that how we can overcome by following the process given by Prabhupada. So we find difficulty even that following the process, it's ourselves, our fault. We find so much difficult that we have some anger with our near colleges and we remain like in that Hiranyakasipu anger.
It is a long way to go and it all depends upon how sincerely and seriously we are following the process of Krishna consciousness. So sometimes we are following the process for some time, we became complacent and then we take it for granted. Nothing can be taken for granted in Krishna consciousness. The sign of advancement will be shown how you deal with situations. Like Lord Shiva, how he dealt with the situation, it is very clear. How we are dealing, we can compare. We are not dealing like that, then we know that we are not come to that level. It's difficult. I am not saying it's like a walk in the park. Certainly not. But if the process is followed sincerely and seriously, it is guaranteed that you can overcome. It's a question of how seriously we are doing. The process is so pure. For example, chanting the holy names of Krishna, attentive chanting the holy names of Krishna. We can analyze ourselves how much attentive we are chanting. You don't have to worry about how others are chanting. Sometimes one is very concerned about others chanting, not about one's own chanting. You see how much attentive I am. Am I? Every single syllabus that I am chanting, am I hearing properly? Any other thought process is coming to my mind or not? Am I thinking anything else? We can analyze yourself. You will find out how much attentive you are. So how much effort we are putting to make our chanting attentive. It's very important. If that is not happening, then it's all chain reaction, you know. How much sincerely and seriously I am following the regulative principles? how much I am following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, how much I am attached to material things, how much I am attached to Krishna. You keep analyzing yourself. When you see that something is missing, you'll have to put more and more effort. Am I putting sufficient effort? You analyze. So you will find you are not putting sufficient effort. That is why things are not moving in the desired direction, with the desired speed. So you'll have to put more attention on these things. Then you'll find it is happening. It will happen. It's our desire to put the effort. If we are not going to put effort, it's not going to happen. Simple. So it looks like it is a very difficult thing to cleanse the heart. No, it is not difficult. It is very difficult for us to put all the attention in our process. Because so many other things are coming. This one coming, that one coming. Our mind is getting disturbed. Going on. We have to stabilize it. We have to put effort. Unless we put effort, it's not going to happen. Nobody else is going to come and put effort in our purificatory process. Our purificatory process, we have to do it. Somebody can give guidance. But at the end of the day, we have to do it.
Hare Krishna. We understand that by nature, Vaishnavas are supposed to be, you know, amanina, manadina, giving all respects to others and accepting none for themselves. We also find personalities like Lord Krishna himself, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, giving respects to his elders like Yudhishthira Maharaj, Maharaj Ugrasen. So why in this situation Lord Shiva did not consider that and, you know, gave respect to Daksha, who is also his father-in-law and relation?
As I already said, there are two dharmas here. One is ordinary dharma. This giving respect to elder is like ordinary dharma. It's a social custom. Whereas, his position as the principal demigod is much higher. So you have to decide which dharma has to be given emphasis. The higher dharma has to be always given emphasis. So in this case, Lord Shiva was the principal demigod. Not only just he is ordinary principal demigod. Shiva Tattva is a different Tattva by itself. Whereas this Prajapati Daksha is a Jiva Tattva. Jiva Tattva. And you know, Shiva Tattva is a different Tattva altogether. And so in that Yajna, if it is the same Dharma, would have been very different if they have met somewhere else. On the way. Suppose, oh, Rasta mil gaya. Ye Rasta milna alag baat hai. Rasta mil gaya, phir he could have exhibited the ordinary dharma, oh father-in-law, son-in-law. This is the place of yajna where each principal person has to have their own seat. Because in a yajna, there is a specific seat for each one. So Lord Shiva is given the higher position already. He's already in a higher position. And in the lower position, this fellow is expecting that. For example, you know, if a son-in-law becomes judge in the Supreme Court. Supreme Court judge. He is sitting in the seat. Then, actually, he is sitting in the seat and his father-in-law comes into the courtroom. Father-in-law comes. So now, he is father-in-law, right? But in the court, when judge comes, everybody has to stand, not the other way around. If you have gone to your court. Or if you have seen the cinema, I don't know how they should show in the cinema. But then, when the judge enters the court, everybody has to stand up. When he sees, everybody sees. Like in the college, when the professor enters the classroom, everybody stands up. Do they stand up nowadays? I don't know. We used to stand up. Do they stand up now? Who is the student here? Students, you use? When the professor comes in the classroom, now the students stand up or not? So, when the judge comes, all get up. And he sits, everybody sits. And when he sits, when father-in-law comes inside the courtroom for some work or the other, he can't say he get up, you know, then his position is there judge. In the court, he is judge. And that position only he can exhibit the relations. For the judge,
The people who have come, either you are, you're plaintiff or, defendant or witness or camera, this media or any category you are in, everybody is subservient to the judge. So the father-in-law coming in the courtroom and expecting, hey, he cannot say that what kind of son-in-law is, wo bolega son-in-law garta dekhenge, adi baitna. The judge will say, if he says sit down, he has to sit. If he doesn't sit, problem will be more serious. He can be thrown out of the courtroom also. So, if we see specifically the yajna that is being performed, every person is given according to their position. It is already given higher position because it's a principal demigod. So in that position, he is exhibiting his relation. So he didn't do. But same thing Lord Shiva certainly would have respected him if it was outside the yajna arena. But then, Daksha, he could not see the... That is why Nandi said that this fellow is ignorant. He cannot understand the right thing. Because he cannot understand the lower dharma and higher dharma. So this dharma is higher dharma. So when a person follows the higher dharma, for him to neglect the lower dharma cannot be condemned. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yador bhaktir adokshaje. For a human being, para dharma is devotion to Krishna. And if he is neglecting the lower dharma, that is not to be taken seriously. So in that case, he couldn't do it because, he was following higher dharma.
So, ji, we see in a case of Parikshit Maharaj, he was also angry like when Brahmana didn't reply his case. So, after that, the question actually is that, okay, he was angry, but he lamented and he thinks that my kingdom should be ruined and my wealth, my power should be ruined in a fire. This was like, why to punish whole kingdom upon his own mistake, because of his own mistake. Instead of that, Parikshit Maharaj can punish himself only.
No, it is the curse of the Brahmana. See, anger leads to so many consequences in the whole Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj was not given, he was thirsty, he was not given water, and it said that he was angry. He is a devotee. Devotees can get angry also sometimes. He was protected by the Supreme Lord in the womb. Protected. But then, he became angry. The curse of the Brahmana is that he should die in 7 days. Right? Whereas, Parikshit Maharaj, see, when the curse is done, how the different people take it in different way? He said that, okay, this is the mercy of the Lord. And he wanted to use that 7 days in the most appropriate way. But, the Brahmana boy cursed that this person should die, and because of his death there are going to be so many other consequences that you cannot stop. What can you do about it? He said that I have to die in 7 days, what can he do about it? He said that, okay, what's the best thing I should do, let me do. So he is not responsible for other, for his action some curse was given. So he took it happily, he didn't want to protest, he didn't want to counter curse. The real scenario was this yajna, wherein Daksha was cursing because real, three parties cursing each other. Very serious situation. What else would have happened? That's all. You can see the effect of that. Because of that, all the Shiva's followers are drinking, ganja and things like that. All the Brahmanas are doing very materialistically, demanding dakshina, etc. These are all because of that curse. How much it affects, you can see the whole life of different people. Simple one, behavior of Daksha, expecting some respect from his son-in-law. So you cannot say that why all are affected, what to do? We are part of the life in this universe, so the universal rule we have to follow. So that is, he is not responsible. He is responsible for his mistake, for that mistake. He actually, even after leaving the place, he really thought whether Rishi, whether he is really in meditation or he is acting like he is in meditation. He was already giving a benefit of doubt. So that shows his anger was not permanent, temporary. we try to curtail as minimum as possible the time of the anger. If it is immediately you get out of it, then it's okay. Then there is a good chance that you can purify your heart.
Very good, sir. Prabhuji, you said anger is based on false ego. When false ego is cut, then anger comes. And you also said that person in mode of ignorance and passion, they have this anger. So, but we see that in spiritual plane also we see the anger. For example, Rupa Goswami became angry on Jiva Goswami. Sometimes spiritual master becomes angry on disciple. In spiritual world also we see Yasoda Mata becoming angry on Krishna. So how this works?
In the spiritual plane, anger is very different. In the material plane, the anger is connected to the bodily concept of life. We are identifying with our body. Our false ego is, I am this body, and in any disturbance of this body, I am going to be angry. Right? Whereas, in the spiritual plane, that anger causes actually, the contamination of consciousness. Contaminating of consciousness. In the spiritual plane, it is part of the pastime to enhance the, rasa. So that anger doesn't contaminate the consciousness. A spiritual master chastises that Prabhupada says, you rascal, do like this. That means what? No. He is seeing that this fellow is not doing correctly. He says that, okay, do it correctly. That's all. After some time, you say, hey, come and take this rasgulla. That anger is not, material or kept long within the heart. So a spiritual master, to discipline, exactly like a mother takes a stick, like mother Yasoda took a stick and she was chasing Krishna, baby Krishna. You are doing mischief, I will catch you and punish. She was a little angry, no? But that anger, what, after tying him, she became, loving her child. That love is there, the original thing is love. That temporarily getting angry to discipline, that is very, that doesn't affect your progress in Krishna consciousness for a devotee. Whereas in the spiritual plane for the eternal associate, that anger is part of the, spiritual leela. And that leela is not going to contaminate their consciousness. So that is spiritual. And that doesn't affect one's, spiritual life. But then, we cannot think that I am also a devotee for so long, so I am also getting angry. This is my spiritual plane anger. That you have to work it out. Whether what plane you are in, you know better than others. So we have to exercise caution. We can't take things for granted. Yes?
Correct. Thank you, Prabhuji. Nice explanation. Prabhuji, this question is a little bit out of discussion. That I read.
We don't even have time for within discussion. You are going out of discussion. Okay. Last question. Quick.
Prabhuji, I read somewhere that mind is a creation of mode of goodness, and intelligence is creation of mode of passion. Still, I also read that by using intelligence, we can overcome the mind. So actually, seeing the goodness is more higher than the passion, and how this creation of passion, intelligence, can be deliver the mind.
See, the lower and higher levels are set based upon the power on the acting on the body, the functioning of the body, right? Whereas intelligence is to actually take the decision what is to be done. But after taking the decision, mind plays very important role. Mind plays important role in meditation, dhyana, attentive chanting. Mind plays an important role. You don't allow the mind to think in this way, that way, like that. You have decided to sit and chant. Once you decided, there are so many thoughts coming in the mind, right? So, which thought we should be concentrating upon? Attention should be given on what? So when the mind cooperates with you, that is what is going to help you in putting your attention and making progress in Krishna consciousness. The creation part is one thing, don't compare, these two are two different things. Functioning of the body is one thing, how the elements are created is another thing. So we cannot make a comparison and make which is better, which is not so better like that. So mind is very important role in our day-to-day effort, because by the action that we are doing in the mind, unless the mind is purified, mind is purified. See, this mind, intelligence, false ego and contaminated consciousness, these four elements are distinguished by means of the function. But they are all same thing, one and the same thing. It's exactly like stainless steel. The strap is also made of stainless steel and the watch inside also made of stainless steel, but the function is different. So in the same way, mind, intelligence, false ego, contaminated consciousness, these four are called antakarana. By means of function they are distinguished. Otherwise they are one and the same. But mind certainly plays an important role in the spiritual activity of attentive chanting, meditation, etc., etc. I saw one hand going up, Mataji's side, so we'll take that question, otherwise it will... Mic is coming, right? You have to switch on the mic, eh? Switch on the mic.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, that was a very good answer. I had a question about tolerance. When you speak about the tree, bearing the, somebody cutting your arm and it's very tolerant, how relevant it is for us today to be tolerant in every situation, especially when tolerance is misconstrued to be weakness. So how do you do that? Is there something in the Bhagavad Gita that will help you take the decision of when to remain the tree and when to become the goddess?
Tolerance, humility, these are all not weakness of a person, they are strength actually. Even outside people, they know it is a strength. Mahatma, within quote, Gandhi, people appreciate it. No, his tolerance, he was more powerful than, you know, if he had fought. So now, having said it's a strength, when to be tolerant and when not to be, certainly if somebody is directing to you certain kind of blasphemy, or somebody is trying to chastise a person, if it is something directed to oneself, so one has to try to be tolerant. It's very difficult. It's not that easy. It's very difficult to ask a person to be tolerant than to be tolerant himself. We have to admit that. It is a difficult situation to be tolerant. So it is not a weakness, but if one can become tolerant, you'll be surprised. You'll make progress in Krishna consciousness so fast. So fast. When Krishna sees you are tolerant, he gives extra grace to you actually. So, you want extra grace or you don't want, that depends upon you. When not to be tolerant, it's very clear that if somebody is actually offending, let us say offense, somebody is offending another devotee, somebody is offending the spiritual master, somebody is blaspheming scriptures, somebody is blaspheming Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should not be tolerant. Two things he can do. Either he can try to refute the person. He can refute the person. If he cannot, then he leaves the place. He doesn't have to stay and aur kuch bolna. Achha lagta hai. That is not correct. So one should not be tolerant if somebody is offended. If oneself is offended, it's a very difficult situation. So if one tries to be tolerant, he will certainly make progress in Krishna consciousness. Difficult situation. It is very difficult. I'm not saying it's so easy. But then, if you have to make progress in Krishna consciousness, you'll have to do something which is very difficult. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande.